Now it's time to hear from the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
Earlier this week, the government announced science-based biogenic methane targets for 2050 in what they say will provide farmers and exporters with a clear pathway to reduce emissions while maintaining productivity and trade competitiveness. Following Cabinet's approval, the target will be set at a range of 14 to 24% below 2017 levels by 2050, reflecting the findings of the Independent Methane Science Review released in 2024. For our weekly catch-up with the Green Party, I spoke to MP Ricardo Menendez March about this topic. We also discussed the most recent ceasefire agreement between Israel and Hamas and recent findings from the Ministry for the Environment and Stats New Zealand showing Aotearoa's oceans are warming 34% faster than the global average. But first, we discussed the government's changes to methane targets. What was the Green Party's reaction to these methane targets announced by the government?
Weakening our climate targets is nothing short of climate nihilism. Farmers are actually some of the most affected by climate change. And we have seen report after report that the impacts of climate change and the ways of more frequent extreme weather events will cost our communities and our economies greatly. The government should instead put in place funding to support farmers transition into more regenerative practices, so that we can actually have access to food and support farmers to not be so impacted by climate change.
Green Party co-leader Klaus Warbrick called this announcement a cheap accounting trick. Why has she made this claim?
Basically because the way that the government has calculated the methane targets allows them to A, give themselves a range, B, also because effectively what the government is doing is claiming that they'll just make up for it elsewhere, but we're also seeing that the government is also not serious about climate change in other parts of the economy and with other emissions, and so we're also concerned that the government is presenting this as evidence-based when, you know, the idea of no additional warming is not grounded in evidence. It's actually part of climate nihilism rhetoric, because at the end of the day, what we need to do is reduce emissions, not just aim for no additional warming.
You mentioned farmers, and I guess extending on that, how will this policy affect rural communities?
Well, in the medium term, the risk is that we're leaving farmers more exposed to extreme weather events, to changes in weather patterns, which in and of itself will affect yields and crops. And this is why instead what the Greens have campaigned on for a few years now is to have a fund that allows farmers to transition into more regenerative, lower emission practices that actually can still produce high value exports that are good for farmers and our overall economy.
Moving on to our next topic, a ceasefire deal has been reached in Gaza. Yesterday, we learned that Israel has started releasing Palestinian prisoners, while Hamas has released their remaining hostages. What is your reaction to the current ceasefire agreement and the release of hostages by Hamas and the release of these 2,000 Palestinian prisoners?
Israel has a poor track record of abiding by previous ceasefire agreements, and unfortunately, in the past about 12 hours, we have seen Israel has already reportedly killed people in Gaza despite of the ceasefire. The key thing here moving forward will also be that any peace plan will need to guarantee Palestinians their sovereignty. Palestine must remain for Palestinians, and any attempt to move technocrats to take over parts of the governing of Gaza risks taking control of Gaza away from Palestinians. Also, the key issue is that the Israeli occupation of Palestinian territories has not ended, and Israel must also be held to account for the genocide they have committed.
US President Donald Trump has called for a full pardon for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. How does the Green Party respond to that?
Oh, that's a very Trump move, someone who provided weapons and aided Netanyahu in carrying out the genocide that we saw in Gaza. Of course, he would be then seeking to pardon Netanyahu for the war crimes that he has committed. Israel and Netanyahu are yet to face accountability for the genocide and the war crimes that they have committed. And, you know, this is why there's not going to be peace unless there is justice. Parties that have been complicit in a genocide must be held to account, and we reject any idea of having any form of pardon for Netanyahu.
You mentioned that part of the ceasefire may have already broken. There are reports that 9 Palestinians have been killed by
Israeli soldiers since this ceasefire deal. What needs to happen? What role can New Zealand play here for a ceasefire to stick?
Well, it goes beyond the ceasefire, right? It's about the government putting enough pressure on Israel to comply with the ceasefire agreement. It's also about working towards peace via justice. The government has yet to join the ICJ case to take Israel to basically the court that will hold it, them accountable for the genocide and the war crimes that they have committed. And we are yet to sanction people who continue defending and celebrating a genocide that was happening right in front of our eyes and being live streamed on our screen. So in order for there to be long-standing peace, there must also be justice. And this is why without justice, the ceasefire will remain extremely fragile, because we're still seeing violence and occupation happening for Palestinians who are living in Gaza.
Lastly, the Ministry of the Environment and Stats New Zealand's three-yearly update has revealed that Aotearoa's oceans are warming 34% faster than the global average, with $180 billion worth of housing as well as $26 billion worth of infrastructure at risk of flooding. What was the Green Party's reaction to this news?
It's really concerning, and it confirms the fears that we have had that communities across Aotearoa will be put at risk of climate change and the subsequent weather changes that will come from warming oceans. So, for example, we're talking about coastal communities facing their homes being destroyed. We're talking about parts of our economies being extremely disrupted, and also ecological collapse as a result of many of our natural ecosystems not being able to sustain themselves as our oceans warm. So this is an alarming report, and if anything, it should be a wake-up call for our climate denialist government. But more needs to be done to address climate change, to pressure other global players to do the part, but for us to also take a leading role in transitioning our economy to one that is low emissions, and that actually could also help lower the cost of living, investment into things like electrified rail that is affordable and connects our communities is climate action. And so there's no reason why the government can't tackle warming oceans, the climate crisis, and the cost of living all at once. It's all connected.
As mentioned previously, the government has come under questioning about other climate-related policies. Do you think the government is taking the threat to our climate and oceans seriously enough?
Absolutely not. They have talked about bringing back oil and gas exploration, spouted lies about the economic benefits of such exploration, when we have seen that despite what the government may say, the government has not found new oil and gas in quite some time. And it's also threatening to mine in conservation areas that are key hotspots for our ecosystems, that also allows those ecosystems to absorb carbon emissions. And so this government, if anything, is putting particularly coastal communities at risk, farmers at risk, and, you know, for communities like us in Auckland that faced the impacts of extreme flooding events in 2023, we could be seeing those events happening a lot more frequently if the government doesn't take action.
And how should the government take action to protect those aforementioned communities and infrastructure that are affected, that would be affected by these findings?
One of the things that the government could do is better support councils to ensure that we have infrastructure that works with nature as opposed to against it. So, for example, restoring our streams in places like Auckland allows our cities to better absorb extreme weather events. But also it's about having the infrastructure that is resilient, so that it's greater investment into things like rail, so that we can move away from carrying our freight in roads, and also to connect our towns and cities by rail, which the government continues lagging behind when it comes to its investment in those areas. Those are all things that make people's lives cheaper, but also reduces emissions.
That was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March on the government's downgrade in methane targets, the most recent ceasefire agreement between Israel and Hamas, and New Zealand's oceans warming up 34% faster than the global average.
That was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.